We've had these gentlemen on before. They were the ones that put out the book Etiquette for Outlaws. And one of the authors, David Wallach, is back with us because this book is great. Why We Rule. This is basically telling Americans who hear every night on the news how the rest of the world hates us, but in fact, we rule.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a really good way to put it. I mean, we're getting a lot of flack for a lot of things, but and we certainly make a lot of mistakes, but there's a lot to love about this country.
Let me tell you something. We may make some mistakes. We may break some eggs, but we make the best damn omelet in the world.
You know it. I mean, it's like not everyone loves us, but they all want to party with us.
Absolutely.
This is the number one tourist destination on the planet, and that's there's a reason for it.
That's right. And look around Germany. All they want to be is cowboys and surfers.
That's
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll tell you, the German tourists, they flock here to Southwest Florida.
Of course.
You go through a department store or a mall, and sometimes you have difficulty understanding the people around you because they're speaking German. Because they love this country.
I mean, we're fun. You know, we're a fun country. I mean, we've got you know, the basic, the no-brainers. There's freedom. There's freedom to talk trash. The Statue of Liberty. All that's great. But we're also like, you know, we're the leaders of frivolous fun.
We're number one in eats, first of all, food. We got the best food in the world.
Definitely.
Right here
Without
in the United States. I did not know we invented the apple pie, didn't we?
Well, I don't know if we invented the apple pie, but I'm sure we serve more apple pie than any other nation on Earth.
We perfected it.
We perfected warm apple pie, and we've made it sort of the iconic symbol of comfort food that it is today. I mean, we didn't invent the hot dog either, but, you know, I would still, you know, arguably that's definitely an American food.
We didn't invent pizza, but you know what? You go to Italy and you ask someone in Italy, where can you get the best pizza? They'll tell you the United States.
And I bet you can't get hot, fresh pizza delivered in 30 minutes or less in most countries either.
Probably not.
And they look down on you and say that it's peasant food.
Right.
It is.
Right.
You know, when I was there, that's what they said. They laughed at me.
Yeah, exactly. When I was there, they were, it was definitely, it was like sort of like McDonald's to them.
Well, they were saying that it stems like from the old days where you could get bread, sauce, meat, and cheese all in one meal right there. And that was they looked at it for poor people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when we were doing the research for this book, what was interesting is I didn't realize how much stuff we came up with. I mean, if we didn't invent it, pretty much we made it better.
Yeah, we here in the United States are the kings of porn.
We're the global epicenter of porn. Actually, right here in L.A., we have the largest community of porn stars. And the majority of the largest porn companies are also right here in the Valley.
Medicine pioneers. I mean, pioneers from kidney transplants. We came up with the breast implant, right?
Yeah, that's all us. Yeah, definitely.
Some of the greatest inventions, you have it right in the book.
The very early on. The internet.
Even drinks. You're talking about mixologists, bartenders. Most of your wild, crazy hangover drinks we invented.
Right. I'm kind of nursing that. This morning.
What did you do last night?
We had our publication party last night, and Rob, my writing partner, you know, bourbon was invented in Kentucky. So, in celebration of that, me and Rob went toe-to-toe doing shots, and I'm not really a bourbon drinker, but last night I was.
That'll hurt you.
I'm paying the price this morning.
That'll hurt you. You know, a lot of adults can't drink bourbon because they did during their teenage years and still remember the aftertaste.
That's exactly the case with me. And I mean, unfortunately, I sort of made my way through all the hard alcohols, so I pretty much stick to beer now. But,
yeah, me too. I remember that when I was a teenager, that bottle of bourbon. Hell yeah!
That's the one. Bourbon is the one that I still really can't stomach. But, we came up with it all. You know, deodorant.
Yeah.
Yeah, Plains. Well, that doesn't surprise me.
but you know what?
Europeans didn't believe in bathing.
They stink.
I guess they still don't.
No, a lot of them smell.
Oh, totally. And, something that a lot of people don't know is that we came up with, the first packaged toilet paper, I don't know what the world would be like without that.
Well, you said that when you were over in Europe that they use, like, shop towels.
When you were in Europe, I mean, you would go to some of the nicest hotels, and what they have is not what you would call the Charmin bathroom tissue.
Right.
It would be rolled toilet paper, but it would be the brown toilet paper that was quite rough on the ass.
Yes. Let alone, if you go to, when I was traveling through Asia, and you're doing the squat in the hole kind of thing.
That's right.
And if you go into other parts of the world, you know, you're not going to get that. You're not going to be able to, you're not going to have a working flushing toilet.
Hot and cold running showers. Is that us? Is that all us?
I mean, again, we probably didn't invent it, but it's definitely something we take for granted. And you can't get, you know, that is not something other nations can automatically assume. You're not going to necessarily get that everywhere you go. And it's a luxury that we just that we take for granted in the US of A.
Here's another oddity in your book, and give me the details on this. Whenever you eat at a Chinese restaurant, you get a fortune cookie. The Chinese didn't invent that. We did, right?
That's all us. It was invented in, I can't remember.
In Chinatown.
In 1918, right?
It was, I think it was turn of the century. I think it was what was it? I think it was during...
They started serving cookies at San Francisco's Japanese Tea Garden in 1914.
Right, right. Yeah, so it was... I think it was... Basically, it was sort of like a feel-good, like a pick-me-up for during that time, you know, the Depression era. It was sort of like fortune cookies would, you know, sort of bring a smile to people's faces. We also came up with things like Vichy Sois. That's American-made. Chop Suey was created here on U.S. soil.
All your Chungking products.
Yeah, and Haagen-Dazs is actually, there's nothing European about that. That's all.
There's nothing we like more than an American product with a foreign name.
Exactly. No, have you checked into that? Because there are a lot of, what you just mentioned with the Chinese foods and the Haagen-Dazs. You throw a foreign name on it, and people will eat it up, when in fact we invented it right here.
Right. Oh, definitely. Definitely. There's, I mean, you know, there's a ton of stuff that you don't realize is domestic. You know, like you said, the fortune cookie, chop suey. What else? Gumbo is domestic. We invented the Q-tip.
here's another thing, and this is very cool as far as brainiacs go. We are number one in Nobel Prizes, number one in Olympic golds, and number one in worldwide production of salt.
Oh, yeah. this book, there's a lot of, it's like a fountain of useless information, as well as a fun read.
It's a great read. And you know what? And as you said, as far as why putting, because it's an inspirational thing. You got to realize even the world judges us as number one.
We set the standard, man. I mean, one of the things that what inspired this book was we, on our last book tour for Etiquette for Outlaws, Rob kind of like this, Rob got a book groupie. This girl was just emailing like crazy. She was really cute too. She sent him a letter the day after 9/11 saying, like, the U.S., you know, why the U.S. had it coming to us, you know, why we deserved this. And it really pissed Rob off. So we started talking about it. And we're not, you know, jingoistic flag wavers. We don't, you know, believe that everything the U.S. does is sanctosact. And, you know, we certainly have our opinions. But there's a lot of great things about this country that people ignore. If there's a huge flood in some, you know, South American country, we're there. We're there helping them out. We give so much money to other nations. We're the most we give more money than any other nation on earth. We give more food out to other countries than any other nation on earth.
That's right, we're smart about it because with a lot of those international relief agencies, we can place a lot of CIA operatives.
That's right. And you know what? And let's not leave this out. You also have a little appendix down at the end here, a postscript of certain things.
Why we suck.
I mean, you do have a list, and you got stuff like on there, like Carrot Top.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a nation, we must apologize for Carrot Top.
Jerry Falwell, Jimmy Buffett, we apologize for all of that. Joseph McCarthy and Jenny McCarthy, we apologize for that.
I understand Joe McCarthy, though, if you met him personally, a very warm and engaging
he
man.
He was a boozer, Haney. He was a boozer. The man
he was
loved,
a charmer.
The man loved his sauce. One of the one things that you put in here, why we rule, we came up with the ATM, but also why we suck, we came up with the ATM surcharge.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we definitely have our problems. We have things like Just Say No. We have, you know, Temptation Island. We have Please Hold and Operator, Will We Be With You Shortly, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's a ton of it. You know, Wine in a Box, I'm sure that's a U.S. invention.
But and, I'm telling you, a great book.
This book is not going to sell well in, like, Iraq, but...
unless somebody really wants to know the true answers.
Exactly.
The book is called Why We Rule, 101 Great Reasons to Love Our Country by Rob Cohen and this guy right here, David Wallach.
Does
David,
he mention Ron Popeil?
Yes. Is Ron Popeil mentioned anywhere in
the
book?
Oh, yeah. The Vegematic?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. He's like one of our great entrepreneurs.
Yep.
He's in there. Hey, you guys, tell me what rules about Fort Myers.
We got to go now, David.
Okay.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See you later.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good, it makes the Pope want to sin. They'll fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws ties and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Deep space civilization has been consistently sending signals to the people of Earth for millennia. For the past 2 decades, we've been sending them this. Then, they stopped sending the signal. Oh well, f*** them if they can't take a joke. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
All right, all right, all right.
Woo!
What are you doing, Dave?
Sitting in the corner,
what
bro.
A, what a boob.
Just waiting. You shut up, man.
People may be wondering. I'm talking to my audience right now.
All right, well,
people may be wondering. Not all about you. People may be wondering.
What, Dave? What's wrong?
What's the matter? What? I'm trying to talk to the Stan and Haney audience.
Go on the headstand.
Then get away from, step back from that microphone. That's all you want to do. You're a mic hog.
But if he's not by the mic, then he's, like, pacing and punching the wall.
Because me and Stan have been having a conversation.
No, we have not been having a conversation.
Okay. All right.
We have been discussing
yeah.
why you're here today.
My ineffectiveness.
Why are you... why?
Has that come up?
Nope.
No, that's just because I know.
Why are you saying you're ineffective?
I can already feel it. I feel his vibe.
Why?
I've known Stan a long time.
Why are you here today?
Probably for a reprimand meeting or something. I'm pretty sure that's what's going on.
But you haven't been told that.
Yeah, no, but I got a damn good feeling I'm going to be reprimanded.
I do too.
Shut up, man.
I do too.
I mean, I'm probably going to get another, you know, I got to sign another piece of paper.
But have you done anything wrong?
No, not that I know of, but it doesn't mean that I don't, you know, I haven't
it
read
it. It doesn't mean it didn't happen.
I haven't read the standards, the handbook standards in quite a while.
I guess, you know, and I can go and nitpick, which is so easy to do, your show.
Yeah, I know.
The only thing that I want to discuss with you right now, because it will probably come up in the meeting. Well, much harsher stuff, like it's do or die for you. But this is just one thing I want you to answer, because it seems like your default is to lie.
What have I done now?
You haven't even heard what I said yet, so you don't even know what
you've
done.
We've covered this before. It's well known.
Yeah, that it's his default. But on Friday, when, as you said, when we were off air, it was thrown at you 24 hours in advance, so you didn't have time to read a liner note. You weren't prepared for that.
He showed up, though.
I was here an hour early,
well,
bro.
Well, then that's no excuse. But I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. On Friday, when... he'll talk about your lack of preparation.
Oh,
on Friday, when Zito was in here offering you Saturday nights, a Saturday night, 8 to midnight.
Right.
He told you, show me what you got. You say that you've got a little something that nobody else here has.
Oh, Stan, see, that's where...
Hold on a second. He said it on the air. It's true. And he told you to take a couple of phone calls. Now I find out.
I wish we were filming this.
Now I
There's
find out.
There's quite a performance going on here.
When you catch somebody in a lie.
Insanity.
When I saw Roger Marley in a moment where he was calm, I said, you were in here with Dave for an hour and a half? Yeah. And he didn't take a phone call. And here's what he said. I wanted to show him, I wanted to teach him, but Zito said no phone calls, don't take a phone call, and that you were apparently very skittish about working the Adobe to take a phone call, and that you said no. Zito said on Friday, take a few phone calls, make sure they're recorded.
I want that audio, man.
And then you're telling Roger Marley, no, I'm not.
He just laid down on the floor.
You ever watched the show Cops? Not Cops, the first 48, when they have the guilty person in the police interrogation room, the ones that lie on the floor or cover their head with a t-shirt, they're the guilty ones.
Not really.
Yeah, really.
No.
Now, Dave probably knows a little more about that than you do.
Why? Why? When you said, hey, I want to hear from you, and all right,
I had a lot of phone calls.
Then why didn't you air one of them?
Because I was under...
Open your ears. He said record a phone call and play.
I was under the idea since it was the first show, Stan.
It could be the only show,
Dave,
and you didn't do it.
Do you know where you went wrong?
All right,
You did.
I do know, and I've got ideas.
Look.
From 8 to midnight was wrong.
It's all right.
Right, Stan?
But
that's not me.
Dave, you know what?
Up.
There's a lot of focus.
Don't be a dick, man.
There's a lot of focus here and a lot of focus there. And what people are missing is that whatever you said to Zito worked. It made him give you a show.
Mm-hmm. I said, give me a shot. Let's, you know.
Because you had something that was better.
I'm just thinking, why not? Let's just give it a, you know, let's give it a run.
Yeah, yeah.
And
how about preparing for it?
And that part of it worked. Here's where you screwed up, Dave.
Big time.
Stop.
You emphasized your 18 years of experience. That's what's been coming back to me all week is, yeah, Dave.
Well, he disappeared in the mountains for a while.
You got to understand what you're up against. So that's what I'm hearing is, yeah, Dave showed up. He stayed the whole time. That's a plus. Really good.
Okay, Dickistan.
And he did some things good. He did some things not so good, but it's not what I would expect from 18 years of experience.
Right, I understand. That told him that you bring something that Stan and Haney or Zito couldn't bring. I'm still waiting.
And I will tell you right now.
And you couldn't even take a phone call.
You had better learn that Nature Boy Ric Flair speech. You better learn it.
Yeah, because when you're out partying.
Oh, my God.
And people are posting videos of you drunk up.
No.
There's a video out there of Lee doing the speech.
I don't have internet, man.
There's a video of Lee doing the speech.
I'm not allowed on it.
Dave, there's a video, I think it's at the Buddha, of you standing next to Lee where you're supposed to be doing the speech at the same time. He knows all the words and you don't.
Yeah. You look foolish.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Yep. Well, you had a few in you then.
I think the only thing you remembered was something like Rolex wearing. You could remember that.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm, you know.
Yeah, that's right. You were going to say it. I don't know what I'm doing.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope. Dickistan.
Oh, call me what you want. I'm not the one in a meeting with the program director.
You just
want to
poke and prod.
I'm trying to give you constructive criticism.
This is constructive criticism?
Yeah, you weren't prepared.
Bullying is constructive criticism?
Bullying. Don't be a pussy.
Yeah.
Hell no.
What a puss.
Don't use words like that. You can say whatever you want to him, but that just doesn't sit well with me. Bullying.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, am I bulldozing
that.
You, huh? Okay.
You can say bulldozing.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
Right. Damn bulldozer.
Why do you say I'm bulldozing you?
Because man's been going...
Garrett, Hawaii 5-0.
Batman.
Kojak.
Frank Cannon.
Jim Rock.
Stan here.
This is 86 calling control.
I'm Mark Haney.
John Robinson commanding.
That's speaking.
Are you finished?
Stan and Haney. 96
K-Rock. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Glad to have you here. Thursday edition of the Stan and Haney Show here on K-Rock. Coming up on the show today, something that we didn't get a chance to do on Tuesday because of the lightning strike. We're going to play Stan's Name That Movie. And later on today, our question of the week. We also have the grab bag coming up here in just a second.
So is this meeting with Zito and Dave, is that going to happen on the air?
No, he's just getting Waterman's show. Because he has his brakes highlighted.
They're going to have an air check.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And take a listen to how unprepared you were.
Please, Stan.
Well, please what?
Why? I am at a high-level stress factor right now, and I'm actually so calm because I don't want to get Zito's nerves rattled.
I don't think you're calm. Hit. You were, like, laying down on the floor and punching the wall and jumping around.
I'm literally sweating out.
Yeah, like a guilty suspect in the interrogation
room.
You know
what?
Because if you have nothing to worry about, you'd be calm and cool. But because you're pulling your shirt over your head, rolling on the floor, I've seen the first 48.
I don't think he did anything wrong.
Do you think TV's real, bro?
Jeez.
You got problems, man.
Not me.
I think Stan's referring to, like, closed-circuit TV.
Closed-circuit stuff where they're being interrogated.
Now, is so fake, bro. Have you ever been interrogated? Because I have.
Thank God. No. Well, you're about to be. Grab bag. Brought to you by...
Are you still under investigation by social media?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, man. Everything. It says documents are still under current.
You were first, and then they went after Alex Jones.
Yeah, man. I'm due, brother. I'm telling you.
Brought to you by the pewter mug. US 41 enables. Dun 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 dun! Dun 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 dun! Dun 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 dun! Dun dun dun!
Do you enjoy playing him like a fiddle?
Yep.
You had him in the parking lot on the verge of losing whatever's left of his mind.
Can I say something? I know perfectly well what I'm doing, and to some people, I'm being cruel or insensitive. There is part of my makeup because I'm a pretty thoughtful person, but there's some little gene in my body.
And it is genetic.
That so loves doing that.
Well,
because it's true.
Without getting into the whole thing, you didn't get along all that well with your father, but it is proven that your father had a whole crew of flunkies that he'd yell at all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's I learned from the best.
Yep.
Doesn't mean that I do that.
No, you just have Dave. He had a whole roster.
I can't stand stupidity. When somebody is that stupid, you know how it is when you talk to somebody and you can lay it out to them step by step.
You mean like what I just did?
Yes. And then their eyes, it's like the cartoon.
They're just waiting for you to stop talking.
No sale.
Yeah.
Nothing going on. Drives me nuts. Sorry about that, folks. Something more intelligent. A new PSA from Smokey Bear. Oh, where are you? Why are you playing and it's not...
Is that lightning problems?
I don't know. It's supposed to be playing.
Is it an audition?
Hold on, let me try this. No, it's supposed to be an audition. Hold on. I think there was... hold on, let me try it now. Here's Smokey Bear, I think. I hope.
Hello, I'm Smokey the Bear. Fire season is upon us, so don't light up. This time of the year... Stick with vape pens or try edibles. You can get totally baked without lighting up a forest. This old bear likes the cinnamon gummies. My friend Pooh Bear digs the honey-infused Chiba Chews. And remember, only you can... only you can... Oh, something. I forgot. Oh, boy, Smokey's gummies have really kicked in.
Right, Dave?
Think I'll go take a nap and listen to some reggae. Late.
Late.
Let's go to MSNBC. Stephanie Ruhle.
As California is fighting the largest wildfire in the state's history.
What? What, baby? What? What'd you say?
As California is fighting the largest wildfire in the state's history.
Okay, baby.
Fake news.
Yep.
California isn't farting. They outlawed that several years ago because of climate change.
Yep. We saw it on TV yesterday. Here's a little bit more detail of it. There was a woman involved in a car chase. Seminole County, Florida, tried to escape through a cow pasture. And they had to catch her. Well, there was really no problem. They had the chopper up there with the heat-seeking night vision to see where the suspect was hiding. Didn't have to worry about it because the field was full of cows who thought it was feeding time and began chasing her.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no problem finding her.
That's why you can't feed cows. They'll associate you with food.
Yep.
South and east of you, actually the large group of cows... is following her for a good visual. Looks like they may attack her.
Well, it's alert. I'm going to give you my flashlight. You can tell me where to go from here.
Keep going southeast. She's pretty far into the field now. If you see the large group of cows, they're literally following her and chasing her.
Come down, Brisbane or Shine.
All right, alert. We got her lit up.
Follow the herd of cows.
Yeah, the ranch owner who owns the cows, his name is Richard Kondracki. He says, well, cows were protecting their young, and I have a lot of interaction with them. Well, here, let him tell you why the cows were following her.
I feed them all the time. I give them all my food scraps. Like, they love bread. Cows love bread. I think they didn't realize who they were, and they hit the panic. The cows were nervous. That would make me panic if all them big cows come running at you, because they didn't know them. And they figured they don't know if they're there to hurt them or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or maybe steal one of the little babies. Because you don't want to mess with any animal, whether it's a cow or an elephant or a little cat. You don't mess with the little babies.
You have no idea, unless you've been on the farm.
You have.
Yeah. Cow, the strength of a cow
Well, even an average cow weighs a couple of thousand pounds, doesn't it?
And they're, you know, at night, or even when you go and see them out there, they're pretty docile. They'll be lying down chewing their own cud or something.
What do they weigh, like 500 pounds?
Maybe even over like 1,000 pounds, some of them, I guess. They're huge.
I mean, a small cow would be a couple of hundred.
But they'll go and, you know, have a fly land on them, and you're next to the cow, and they'll shake their head to get the fly off. If their head gets near you, on your shoulder, it is the force that a cow has when it wants to move. Well, I think that's where you come up with your stampedes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're strong. A woman in Houston, everybody knows her as Granny Jean.
You know, a lot of times when we hear that from people, the only one that
2,400 pounds is a cow. That's
really?
An average cow. Yeah, that sounds
an
about
average
right.
Average cow?
Yeah, I remember when our cows going to slaughter, they were like over at four figures.
A female weighs 1,600. So they kind of differ.
Yeah, well, a bull will weigh more.
So like 500 pounds would be a baby.
That'd
then.
Be like a calf. These things are not mean. They're very docile, but they don't know their own strength.
Yeah, see, I don't run into them when they're that big. By the time I get to them, they're usually only like a pound, pound and a half.
Yep, and well marbled.
Yep.
Granny Jean. Granny Jean. Woman in Houston known as Granny Jean. Saw a guy coming down her street on a bike. And wouldn't you know it, messing with his privates. When she told him to stop it, he got off the bike, followed Granny across her yard, up to her front door. She then shot him in the chest. He ended up being okay after surgery. But apparently, she wasn't going to tolerate a stranger in town. Well, messing with the Franks and Beans right in front of her.
Some guy pulled off his pants and pulled his pants open and playing with his thing and ran up to my yard. And I told him to get away from my dough that I would shoot him. And he kept coming and reached for my dough after it was dropped. And so I shot through the door. I don't get in nobody's business. It's just me and him. And like I can't say it, I warned him.
There's a problem at a Dairy Queen in Canada. People are going in there and the place stinks. And they can't figure out why the place is stinking. They brought in all the experts checking for a gas leak, checking for something dead under the building, something, you know, up in the attic. Place is just stinking. So they are offering free ice cream to anyone who can solve the mystery of this horrible, gaseous smell inside the store. They don't know where it's coming from.
I don't know what it is. I can't tell.
We are desperate. We are really desperate. This is almost, 2.5 years now, and we can't solve this problem. I smell it like propane, and then sometimes you smell it like the hydrogen sulfide kind of a thing. And sometimes it's just some kind of gas. We are really, really hoping somebody can come up with a solution for us. It's bothering me so much that I can smell it everywhere now, even when I'm home now.
I saw the sign, and I almost turned around, but for the most part, it's been okay. Like,
hey,
I don't smell anything too poisonous.
Okay.
I honestly don't know what kind of gas it smells like, but it smells like gas.
But it's not.
Why do they sound so weird?
Who?
The people that were just talking.
You know, different folks.
Oh, all right, I feel better. I was worried there for a second.
Not everybody's the same, Haney. We're all different in our own special way.
This sounded odd to me.
Yeah, me too. This, if you've got little kids, When I was talking about this with my girlfriend this morning, because she works with people in her office that have little kids, especially at that age where it's bedtime and school is starting and all of that. Great thing for you. Disney, the Walt Disney Company, has a new hotline where you can call to help your kids fall asleep at night. You get on the phone, you dial the number, and then it'll give you the prompts, and then you go, oh, Donald Duck wants to talk to you, Minnie Mouse wants to talk to you, and they will tell the kid, you know, they think, oh, I'm going to talk to Goofy. And Goofy basically tells you, you know, we've had a long day over here. I don't know about you. You've had a long day. I think it's time we go to sleep.
And I wonder if that would work on Dave.
Of course. Same level. So when the parents call the number, and it's a toll-free number, they get this.
Hi there. Welcome to Disney Store's Sleep Shop Hotline. To help you add a bit of magic to your little one's nighttime routine, follow the prompts to hear a special bedtime message from some of your favorite Disney characters. Please make sure a grown-up is with you, or that you have a grown-up's permission before continuing. Press 1 to hear from Mickey. Press 2 to hear from Minnie. Press 3 to hear from Donald. Press 4 to hear from Daisy. Or press 5 to hear from Goofy.
Well,
thanks for calling, and have a magical night.
Thank you.
Mom or dad is going to go and press 1 and tell little Timmy, Mickey's on the phone, and then he's going to take it and he's going to hear,
"Hiya, pal. It's me, Mickey Mouse. Oh, I sure am glad you called. Gosh, it must be getting close to your bedtime. I bet by now you've brushed your teeth and gotten into your pajamas. Well, that's great. Pluto and I just finished brushing our teeth, too. Tonight, I think I'll read Pluto his favorite story. It's about a brave dog who helps a lost bunny rabbit find his way home. Well, it's time for Pluto's nighttime walk, so I'd better go. Good night, pal. I hope you have sweet dreams."
You get to talk to... Now, here's... I got a tip for you, because I went through them all.
Oh, you did?
I did. Don't use the Donald Duck one, because you can't understand what Donald Duck is saying.
Well, that's very judgmental. We all know he has a speech impediment, and he's overcome it to become a major star.
Yep, a big star for a lot of years now.
Yeah.
Yep, major speech impediment.
Yep.
The grab bag is brought to you by the Pewter Mug. We're going to take a break. When we come back, phone lines will be open. Dave will be out of his meeting, and we'll take your phone calls. 277-9600. If you contribute, you could pick yourself up a prize. Give us a call, 277-9600. Outside of our immediate area, it's a 239 area code. There, you could get a stick pin. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. About an hour away from our question of the week. You have the answer to our question of the week, and we'll pose it to you. It's not a yes or no answer. But right now, we wanted to do this on Tuesday. We got hit by lightning, couldn't do it. So we'll do it today. We're going to play Stan's Name That Movie. I got 5 movie clips. Your job is to be the first person to identify the movie. If you do, you'll get a prize. I'll go over the prizes momentarily. Today's movie topic, Bruce Willis films that are not Die Hard movies. He's been in a lot of movies. A lot of them are Die Hard films.
You know, I remember when he got his big break on Moonlighting.
Yep.
And they were interviewing Sybil Shepherd. She was the big star.
That's true.
And everybody was there, well, why did you cast this guy? And they kept talking about his unconventional looks. Like, you would have thought this guy was the ugliest ever in the world. And it's like, yeah, I see he's not... you know, your typical leading guy, but it's not like he's a hunchback or something.
Right. So all of these are Bruce Willis films. First person to correctly identify the film will get themselves a prize. Today we have Stan and Haney Babakoo Saw.
I should be playing the music now, shouldn't I?
Yes.
I didn't get a hard cue.
It's all right. So. Complimentary auto health check from Naples Nissan. Tickets to a miracle game. Your very own pair of Stan and Haney bobbleheads. That's another thing Dave has to learn. You don't go on and say, I got a couple of pairs of tickets. You have a pair of tickets.
For what? Breaking Benjamin?
Yeah, Benjamin. Speaking of that, I've got a pair of tickets to Breaking Benjamin.
Can you say Breaking Benjamin?
Death Punch.
Can you say that? Breaking Benjamin?
Yeah, Breaking Benjamin.
Yeah.
Why do
yeah.
you say Benjamin?
Benjamin?
Yeah.
Isn't that the name of the... Shut up, Stan.
No, we're doing a show right now.
He can't say it.
$50. $50 to the pewter mug.
Benjamin.
Your job is to identify. Shut up.
It's Benjamin.
Benjamin?
Yeah.
With a Benjamin.
Shut up.
Benjamin.
Shut.
Breaking Benjamin.
That's it. I'm shutting your microphone off. You don't listen. You don't listen.
Hey. I'm like E.T. I'm learning.
Not today, brah.
Yeah, not today. I will take the first phone calls after we play the first clip. These are Bruce Willis films, not Die Hard. And some of these might be pretty tough.
Do you think people will still guess Die Hard even though you've said it multiple times?
Absolutely. Here is Bruce Willis, movie clip number one. Identify this Bruce Willis film.
Dad, the kitchen's clean. I'm going to bed.
Okay, honey. Hey, can you help me with this?
Just a little bit. Why are you moving this?
Because I need you to come over here. I just saw somebody run by.
What do you mean you just saw someone run by? I just saw someone run by here?
I did. I want you to get under the stairs.
Dad, why are you putting me under the stairs? Dad,
call the cops
where are you
right
putting
now.
Dad, please be
Take
careful.
Take your phone
Dad,
and
please.
Dial 911.
What is your emergency?
There's men, they're breaking into my house. They're on my front lawn. I think they're here.
277-9600. Name the Bruce Willis film, and you'll get yourself a prize. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy? Ahoy, who's this?
277.
Ahoy. There's something not right. Ahoy, who's this?
This is David.
David, can you name the movie?
Death Wish.
Yeah, it is. That's his latest, Death Wish. You are absolutely...
Awesome. Is he Paul Kersey?
Paul Kersey.
He's an architect?
No, he's something else. He's got another line of work. What would you like?
Let's do the pewter mug.
Done. $50 to the pewter mug. Hold on. Nice job on that one. I didn't know if anybody would get that. 277-9600. You know, you can make yourself useful. Maybe give him a hand if he needs a hand or something in there. You know, sit down. Don't talk to him, but ask him if he could use some help. Our movie clip number two, Bruce Willis films that are not Die Hard. Here's movie clip number two. Name this movie.
So, what do you think you're going to tell him? Are you going to tell him everything? Are you going to tell them about you, too? You think that's going to make you feel better?
Nothing's going to make me feel better.
Then why? Look, Jack, you and me, we did our business in a certain way. You never complained when we cleared the tough cases. It didn't bother you doing any of that until... Listen to me, all right? You listen. Okay, Jack? Really listen. Whatever you think that you were going to do up there, it is never going to happen. You are not going to make it.
Is that what you're thinking, Frank? They're shooting me down here, nobody knows? Like the Ling family, huh? Like they never knew.
He was a stupid old man who wouldn't keep his mouth shut. All right, so I stuck a gun in some guy's mouth. He had a heart attack. He died. So what?
So what?
Look, if it hadn't happened the way that it did, if he hadn't died, you would have been patting me on the back saying, good job. Collateral damage, it is a fact of life in this business.
He took his last breath while you were wiping the fingerprints off the room.
He was going to take down our case.
He was an innocent man.
He was going to take down our case.
Somebody's husband.
He was going to take down our case. He was going to take down our case. What were we supposed to do?
He wanted to tell the truth.
The truth.
Well, I never.
Yep, 277-9600. Name that Bruce Willis film. Win a prize. Be the first one to do it. Ahoy, who's this?
Tom.
Tom, can you name the movie?
The Jackal?
Nope. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Matt.
Matt, can you name the movie?
16 Blocks.
It is. Nice job on that. 16 Blocks. You are absolutely correct. What would you like?
How about them breaking Binger?
You got him, buddy. Hold on. Hold on.
He didn't even know he was saying it wrong.
No.
Benjamin.
Yeah.
Never heard that in my life.
Nope. We never said Benjamin Franklin, did we?
Nope.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Too bad we don't have the hammer.
Yeah. And the chirping birds.
The chirping what?
Boyds.
Oh.
Here we go. Movie clip number 3. Bruce Willis films that are not Die Hard. Name the movie. This is one of my favorite movies. I like this movie.
All right.
How'd you know that guy you bumped was carrying a weapon?
I don't know. It was that camouflage army jacket he was wearing. Those guys like to carry hunting knives and stuff for show.
You thought he was carrying a knife?
Thought he was carrying something, yeah.
But not a knife.
Got a picture of a silver gun with a black grip tucked in his pants. You know, like on TV.
You have good instincts for things like that?
Like what?
Knowing when people have done something wrong.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to develop it?
I don't know what you're asking me.
Your skill.
Look, I gotta be down on the sidelines during the game. You can get to your seat right down
here. Characters in comics are often attributed special powers. You know, invisibility, x-ray vision, things of that sort.
Okay. I don't want to play this game anymore.
It's an exaggeration of the truth. Maybe it's based on something as simple as instinct.
But he might not have been carrying anything.
But he might have been carrying a silver gun with a black grip tucked in his pants.
Go. I gotta go.
277-9600. Name the Bruce Willis movie. Ahoy. Ahoy.
I want to guess.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you think it is?
Pulp Fiction?
No. No. Dave, I asked you to go in there and help him, not go and hide and talk to him. And as he's trying to do his job.
Is he hiding?
Yeah, he's ducking down. He's certainly not helping him any. My God, it's worse than having a 6-year-old in the place.
Thank you, Rick.
You can't shut up, can you? You can't shut up.
Rick, calm me down.
Your mic's not on.
Rick calmed you down?
What?
Rick calmed me down and said, don't let him get you. Don't let him get you. And I'm not. I'm not going to let
you
get me.
Then step away because I'm in the middle of doing a segment.
Well, then why? I go.
You weren't helping him in there. You were talking to him.
Were you hiding?
Do I hide, brother?
Yep.
He said you were hiding.
What are you doing on the ground?
What do you mean on the ground, bro? If I'm on the ground, I'm working, son.
They weren't working when you were on the ground in the studio here.
Maybe I'm thinking, but I'm still working.
Shut up. Name
Do you end up on the ground often?
Yeah.
No.
Yep. On his knees.
You see what I'm saying, man?
No,
yeah,
that was a
cheap shot,
yeah,
Dave.
Cheap shot. Get out of the room.
No.
Then your microphone's off.
That's fine. I'll sit right here and stare at you for the next minute.
Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Did you like it better when he was hiding?
Yep. Can you name the movie? Okay. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Sal.
Sal, can you do it?
Yeah, is the movie Unbreakable?
It is Unbreakable. Nice
Thank
job.
You, Sal.
Nice job, Sal. What would you like?
What do you guys got?
Pewter mug. Tickets to go see Breaking Benjamin and Five Finger Death Punch. Stan and Haney bobbleheads. Tickets to a miracle game. Complimentary auto health checkup for Naples Nissan. Bottle of barbecue saw.
Let me get the Breaking Benjamin ticket.
Yeah. All right. Hold on.
You know what? I just got a feeling if it hits the fan, Sal would have our back.
Yeah, I think so. All right, we're up to movie clip number 4. Bruce Willis films that are not Die Hard. Name the movie.
I'm going to keep the Coke and the fries, but I'm going to send this burger back. If you put any mayonnaise on it, I'm going to come over to your house, chop your legs off, set your house on fire, and watch as you drag your bloody stumps out of your house. Okay? Pierre?
I'm fine.
You're fine? Let me tell you something, Oz. You are not fine. You know your wife wants you dead? How much I've figured out. And I just thought you should know, because I'm not the first one she came to on this.
The first hitter. There were others?
At least one. Apparently I fell through, so she came to me.
What did you tell her?
You mean that I take the contract?
No. I didn't take the contract.
How much did you offer you?
$10,000.
Name the movie. 2779600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Tony.
Tony, can you name the movie?
The Whole Nine Yards.
It is. It's The Whole Nine Yards. Nice job on that. What would you like?
Can I go to D-Train and listen to what's on there?
D-Train isn't here today. We have Don Jr. that's here today. And I'll send you over to him and then pick a prize, okay?
Okay, great.
All right, you betcha. Last one. Last movie. I always save the easiest one for last so that Dave can say he guessed one.
That's very thoughtful of you. I didn't know you put that much thought into it.
Yeah, because during the last movie clip, he must have named off 4 or 5 Bruce Willis films.
All Die Hards?
Yep. You know, Die Harder, Die Hard with a Vengeance, all that stuff. Yep.
Great Day to Die Hard.
Yep. And I kept shaking my head, no. That's, you're wrong. What a buffoon. Last chance.
You're just so jealous.
Yeah. Not as sharp as him. last chance. Easiest one of the
bunch.
I don't
see you running around with a notepad.
No, Haney, you're right. I haven't since 1983. Name the movie.
He showed you. He just flipped you off, man.
Yeah.
Ain't a damn thing you can do about
it. Save all your passive-aggressive stuff for Saturday night. From what I understand, you're going to need it because the program director just told me, you know what? You don't perform this Saturday night. It already isn't on the log for next week. Here we go. Last movie.
Well, they better get busy making it put back on the log.
Yeah, for Benjamin. Breaking Benjamin. Name the movie.
Stop looking at me. I don't like when people look at me like that.
Okay.
I walked this way to school with Tommy Tomasino.
He your best buddy?
He hates me.
Do you hate him?
No.
Did your mom set that up?
Yes.
Did you ever talk to your mom about how things are with Tommy?
I don't tell her things.
Why not?
because she doesn't look at me like everybody else, and I don't want her to. I don't want her to know.
Know what?
That I'm a freak.
Hey, you are not a freak, okay? Don't you believe anybody that tries to convince you of that. That's bull. You don't have to go through your life believing that. Okay? Come on.
You said the S word.
Yeah. I know. Sorry.
It's almost like Haney and Dave having a conversation. Somebody, you could take that clip right there. It's almost like the two of you had a talk, and it was made into a movie.
Oh, let it bother you there, little buddy.
Ahoy, who's this?
That's Tom.
Tom, can you name the movie?
The Sixth Sense.
It is. What would you like?
I love the Five-Finger Benjamin.
He wants the Benjamin.
Do we have enough of those, Junior? Okay. Yeah, you got them. Hold on, okay?
All right,
hold on. You are welcome. Haney, will you give me an outro, please?
If you think it's him.
Yeah, that was necessary. Just like if we wrote a script. Now, here's Haney and Dave. Let's put them in a movie. Yeah. And you didn't even know the name of that one. You did not.
I bet he did.
What was it? Your microphone's on.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not.
Ha! Go ahead. Told you.
Go ahead.
Sixth Sense, man. Wasn't that M. Night Shyamalan?
Sixth Sense?
M. Night what?
Didn't M. Night Shyamalan do, or Shyamalan?
And what's the name of the movie? Yeah.
The Sixth Sense.
What's it about?
The Sixth Sense, man. It's with the dude sees dead people, The kid sees dead people. I see dead people. You know, and they're not, they're like dead, but.
Are they?
I don't know. I really don't remember. I was probably partying then.
Jeez.
Be honest with you, I am telling you the truth. There was a time when my dad was in the film industry where I didn't watch
movies. All right, I've heard enough of the bragging about it because it certainly didn't rub off on you.
Dick.
Yeah, you're just jealous because Steve McQueen never called your home phone.
You're damn right, bro.
When did he call your home phone? What year had that been?
72 before I was born.
Yeah, before you were born, and you know the phone call came in.
Yep. You're just jealous.
Yeah. I was told.
And that concludes Stan's tribute to Bruce Willis in movies other than Die Hard. Tune in next week when Stan pays tribute to fine actor Mark Hamill in films other than Star Wars. From Radio City in Estero, this is Mark Haney speaking.
What are you listening to? This transistor radio I made myself. Want to listen?
Stan and Haney.
Hey, it's a real radio and it works great. Can I build one too? Sure. All you have to do is put together all the parts that come in the kit. The transistor, the tuner, and the separate loudspeaker for broadcasting. Can you do your own broadcasting too? Yeah, sure. I'll do the announcing with this microphone while you work the radio. This is radio station
96 K-Rock.
The do-it-yourself radio station. Oh, boy, we're radio engineers.
Fellows, get your
Stan and Haney
radio at your favorite toy store.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Going to get you updated on traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails, half hour away from our question of the week. Do me a favor while you're sitting there, see if you can get this going. Start the roll of tape for me.
Oh, no problem. He can do that in his sleep.
Not what he's staying in the corner, and I want to have something for him to stay in the corner with. So I want him to figure that out.
So you're giving him project.
Going to give him a project to do. I need the scotch tape. And once he gets the scotch tape going, he will have accomplished a task. Having a problem with that one? Yep.
He's working on it.
Figured he would. Let's get you updated. First look at traffic this afternoon.
Looks really determined, too.
Yep. I Just start a roll of scotch tape for me, will you, buddy?
Okay, Stan.
Didn't ask you to talk.
Okay. I will fix your tape.
You haven't yet.
No, dude. I haven't. Maybe I'm doing it on purpose.
No, you're not.
You don't know what I'm doing. Serious.
My head's about to explode.
I understand.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Just get the tape done, you stoop. We'll start in Fort Myers. Got a crash. Three Oaks Parkway at Alico Road. Also, Fort Myers, crash. No injuries. The 5,000 block of South Cleveland Avenue right by the Best Buy. This one also, Fort Myers, crash. Briarcliff Road and South Tamiami Trail. Then we move to Lehigh Acres, where there is a crash. 24th Street Southwest at Joe Avenue. And another one for you, Lehigh Acres, crash. 1100 block of Homestead Road North, right by the Winn-Dixie. And you, good boy, put it down. I'm working the control board. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. But what's coming up? How will you know what's going to be coming up? Well, Haney's about ready to give you the headlines right now.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know. Believe it or not, the football is back.
Yeah, tonight.
At least the preseason variety. And the Arizona Cardinals are really going all out for their fans. They are selling a $75 hamburger.
Wow.
Well, you know, you're at the game. You're going to pay a little extra.
Yeah, always.
You know, a beer you can buy at the store for 75 cents is $7.50. But a groom stopped taking wedding photos to save someone from drowning. How would you like to buy a teddy bear made out of raw chicken? And finally, a woman throws a knife at a man even though he swore he did not eat her Chinese leftover. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Okay, goody, staying in the corner. Do me a favor.
Did he get the tape?
Yeah, he fixed that. Take your hat off for a second.
Oh, you made him a dunce cap.
Get off me, man! I'm smart!
You know things.
Yeah, stare right in the corner. Keep that on your head. That Mark, thank you.
I think that's a little far to expect him to wear a dunce cap in the corner.
He was in the corner anyway. And I spelled it just the way you would.
What does it say? Do you know?
Love it.
That used to be commonplace.
Yeah, I know.
And now it's, how dare you?
Yeah. Laughter. It's so important.
Oh, my God.
4 o'clock fluffer time. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Boy, that is still super hot over there.
Mm-hmm.
That is, what's coming out of there is just, might need to get the chief engineer to work on that, too. What?
That was just a digital fart.
Yeah.
I'm told millennials have their own unique words and phrases.
That's what they say.
But we're pretty sure none of them will be found on today's list of the
top
things you'll never hear a millennial say.
Top things you'll never hear a millennial say.
I'm really sick of all this 90s nostalgia. Enough about me. Let's talk about you and your needs.
Clear your throat, darling. Clear it.
No thanks, Mom and Dad. I don't need any money right now.
Oh, my God.
What do you say, just for tonight, we put down our phones and have a real conversation? What's Comic-Con?
Yeah, they're getting it now. They're getting it.
No, I'm not doing that just because someone challenged me to do it on social media. If there's one thing I definitely don't need, it's constant validation from strangers on social media. I'm going to interrupt this political debate right now to admit I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Love it.
Love it.
Well, it's my college debt, so I should pay it off. And finally, the very top thing you'll never hear a millennial say.
Yes.
Bernie's ideas are just too unrealistic and impractical.
Oh, my God.
And that, my friends, is a 4 o'clock.
Elvis.
Elvis has left the building.
Freddie.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you, buddy. Email time. Oh, Absolute Law text line. Hey, is Dave going to be on the radio this Saturday night?
Yes, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
He's been renewed for another week.
Yep, if he shows up. That's the big thing. If he shows up, we've got a chance.
You know, for most people, that's taken for granted that they'll show up.
Yeah.
But for Dave, it's a big win.
It's a big win.
And he showed up.
Yep. Well, we'll see about week number two. Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
One at a time.
Yep. This is from Matt, who writes, Ahoy, gentlemen. I was listening to an outlaw country channel on satellite radio yesterday and heard a bunch of songs that sounded like the stuff that Haney likes to play. Then a John Prine song came on that I fell in love with called In Spite of Ourselves.
Yep.
After making my wife Megan listen to it, she decided to start her underwear. Those of you that don't know, it's a song reference. Thanks, guys. Signed, Matt. Oh, this is from our buddy Angel, the 15-year-old in Lehigh Acres. Remember
him?
Oh,
yeah, his mom won't let him call the show.
Yeah. Hey, so, you know, I'm a fool because it occurred to me that Ahoy is reserved for the callers. So I am now no longer going to start emails with that. So the other day, I went to my little brother's open house at the elementary school. And while forms were being filled out, I wandered and went into the corner of the class where they had all the books. and I read Rainbow Fish and The Giving Tree. I had no idea how deep and meaningful they were, especially The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. What kind of children's books did you guys read in your time? Many thanks, signed Angel. Well, you just mentioned one of them. You know, a lot of the Dr. Seuss stuff.
Old Man and the Sea.
Ah, great short Hemingway short story.
Mark Twain.
Yep.
One that I really enjoyed, I would have been a little younger than him, but there was a an author by the name of Susan Cooper who had a series of books called The Dark is Rising. That was very good.
This is from... Oh, this is from Amy.
Dave, did you break your dunce cap?
You dunce. This is from Amy.
You got to repair that dunce cap now.
Ahoy, guys. I was listening to you while working today. I think this was yesterday. And heard about a car dealership that was buying cars for $5,000. And they would send them to other countries.
Yes.
I'm a 32-year-old struggling single mom with two kids. And I also have two clunkers I need to get rid of. I was wondering what place that was that had a deal like that. Thanks, and keep on rocking. Signed, Amy. That's our buddies down at Naples Nissan. Go see Aaron Walker. This is from Craig. Ahoy, gentlemen. I loved hearing Haney say, duh, good morning.
Duh, good morning. I'm David Hartman.
Referring to David Hartman the past couple of days brought back memories of Joe Piscopo doing his Hartman imitation.
The great Joe Piscopo.
Saying it just like that.
Duh.
Although I think Haney is even funnier.
Funnier than Piscopo?
Please
get out.
Please make that a recurring thing if you randomly inject it like that. You know, like the guy that used to say Earnhardt. That's another thing that makes me laugh out loud. Keep up the great work. Love your show. And take care. Signed, Craig.
Craig, you're absolutely right. And what
don't
great
even, don't,
taste.
Don't. Oh.
Good morning. Good morning. This is David Hartman, today my guests are two of the most famous figures in the annals of animated film history, two pioneers
annals?
Who forged new frontiers
annals,
in the
Rocky?
Field of television, always, comedy,
I think,
animation,
the whole ways of history, what does that mean?
It's a figure of speech, Bullwinkle.
Oh, you mean like today, a medley or a semaphore?
That's simile and metaphor, Bullwinkle.
You know, we had that girl on.
Yeah, June Foray.
Long dead.
It is my honor and privilege to be sitting here this morning with none other than Rocket J. Squirrel and Bullwinkle Moose. Welcome.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. What's annals?
Annals?
You said something about the annals of animated film history.
That's funny. I always thought that meant hallways.
Maybe he meant animals.
What was that, David?
I said hallways.
No, you said something about animals.
No, I said animals, Rocky. Mr. Hartman said hallways.
Weren't you Mr. Hartman?
No, I'm Bullwinkle.
I'm Mr. Hartman.
I'm confused.
Anyway, gentlemen, I understand you two recently toured Mexico. Were you performing together again?
You know we were, Bullwinkle.
Yes, but Mr. Hartman doesn't.
Then why doesn't he ask?
I did.
Not you.
Who, me?
Gentlemen, can we just please...
There. Now, who said that?
Rocky, I am transmogrified after all these years.
Well, darn it, Bullwinkle, it's a record. It's not like I can see you.
What were you doing in Mexico?
Vacation.
We were there helping to improve international relations.
Oh? I heard you were doing a cheap comedy act in some sleazy Mexican dive.
Nightclub.
Bowling alley. No, I mean, we were opening a chain of high-rises.
Yeah, Piscopo was the one doing the cheap comedy act.
That was actually pretty good because they had the real Bullwinkle and the real Rocket J. Squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
Both dead. Piscopo lives. Trust me. I know. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Haney, where can I find that info about John McCain?
Where I saw it was on a website called True Pundit.
Guys, every day when Haney does the news, I'm constantly amazed at the utter stupidity of people. And it seems to get worse all the time. For example, Haney did a story about a guy who went to the police station to prove to his friends that he wasn't drunk to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just what the hell is the thought process here? Did he think he was going to work out, that it was going to work out in his favor?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I've had many times when I had way too much to drink. But doing something like that never once crossed my mind. Can people really be that stupid or ignorant? Well, Guardian, I can look across the room and see Dave just eating up the Facebook Live with his dunce cap on and looking like a fool, and he's just eating it alive.
Well, that's what he was asked to do.
Can I I'm sorry to interrupt, but somebody on Facebook Live made a very good observation. They said, when wearing a dunce cap, aren't you supposed to face the corner?
But then you wouldn't be able to see him.
Yeah, then you wouldn't be able to see him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But...
And then he'd get, because he has to stare at a wall us, he'd get a mite fidgety.
I'm surprised that people even know what a dunce cap is.
Oh, trust me. When somebody called him a couple of weeks back, dunce cap Dave...
We may be the... What are you doing, Dave? Put your dunce cap back on and sit down.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Who do you think you are, bro? On stand, big man.
Are you going to take a break?
Yeah.
Our question of the
week.
You
know what, Dave? You wouldn't see Stan having the guts to sit over there in a dunce cap.
Darn right.
He ain't got half the guts.
I don't have the guts to do it. I'll admit it. I don't have the guts to sit in the corner, wear a dunce cap, and be filmed that goes around the world. You idiot. You idiot.
You're so jealous.
Yeah, idiot.
You are jealous.
We'll be back.
I'm one of the most recognizable voices in the world today. Network television, Major League Baseball, and countless documentaries. Yet, because I worked with these guys in the early 90s, I'm obligated to say, you're listening to my friends, Stan and Haney. This is beneath me. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney.
You are really...
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. I gotta take care of something.
You having some fun now, aren't
you? About 30 minutes away from Mark Haney in the news. We're gonna check traffic, but it is Thursday.
See, I told you people like Joe Piscopo, and you wouldn't believe me.
That was funny. Our question of the week. We're gonna pose to you our question of the week, then we'll do some traffic, give you a chance to pick up the phone, dial in, and tell us your answer to our question. 277-9600. It's not a yes or no answer. And I like this one because I like cars. Here's our question of the week. Big stories. They're doing it all on the TV shows. Ford just made their 10 millionth Mustang. Classic muscle car. Came out midway through 1964. They call it the 1964 and a half Mustang. They're now up to their 10 millionth Mustang. Great muscle car. But is it the best? Our question of the week. What, in your opinion, was the greatest muscle car ever made? And did you ever own one? 277-9600. In your opinion, what's the greatest muscle car ever made? And did you own one? 277-9600, our question of the week. We'll take your calls after we take a look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock Traffic
All right, let's see where we're going to go. We'll start in Fort Myers. Crash, Pine Island Road and Atlantic Avenue North. Oh, I'm sorry, that's in North Fort Myers. Also North Fort Myers, crash, 5900 block of Bayshore Road, right by the Winn-Dixie. Also had a road watcher call in or text in. Broken down POS I-75 at the Daniels exit. Fort Myers, crash, 5000 block of South Cleveland Avenue, right by the Best Buy. And one more for you, it's in Fort Myers. Crash, Briarcliff Road and South Tamiami Trail. And you are up to date.
I'll be with you momentarily. For those of you scoring along at home, that's crash number two today. Crash number two.
Our question of the week. And Dave, you can feel free to answer this one, too. I'm sure you have an opinion.
I'm sure he has an opinion. Absolutely. And I think I know what it might be. He's written songs about it.
I love muscle cars. Story in the news, Ford just produced their 10 millionth Mustang. What was, in your opinion...
Does that really count? Because some of the things they called Mustangs were...
I understand that, but it came back. Well, we all remember the Mustang, too, and it wasn't much to brag about. But then again, we had an energy crisis. What was the greatest muscle car, in your opinion, ever made? And did you own one? 277-9600. I had a few muscle cars, but Haney knows my all-time favorite was my 1974 Plymouth Roadrunner. That was the last year they had the Roadrunner moniker on the car. It became, I think, the Plymouth Satellite afterwards, but I had the Roadrunner on the back, had the decals all over it, the racing stripes, beautiful Mopar Plymouth Roadrunner. Loved that car, and I would love to have it back. If I want anything like it right now, they're unbelievably expensive to, you know, get a nice restored one. But that I'd put that 74 Roadrunner. Mine had a 318, and I put a 4-barrel on it. It was a beautiful car. Haney, do you think was the greatest, in your opinion, greatest muscle car, and did you ever own one? I know you did.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not a gearhead, so I can only go with what was my first love, which was my 1974 Camaro. 3-speed Hurst transmission, and... it was a 350, but man, it got up and went.
350 is a nice engine to have in that thing. Dave the Waterman, in your opinion, the greatest muscle car? And I know you didn't own one.
No, go ahead. I didn't own one of those. But no. I would say the I would say the late 60s Chevelle SS.
He didn't pick up any of your hints.
Yeah. Well, the El Camino,
Chevelle,
obviously.
Late 60s.
But the Chevelle was an incredible.
Nice car.
Incredible car. Big block 454 in it, man.
277-9600.
Smoking.
What was, in your opinion, the greatest muscle car, and did you ever own one? Ahoy, who's this?
This is Steven.
Steven, greatest muscle car.
Early 70s, GTO, the Judge.
Nice. Did you own one?
I didn't own one. I came up. I was a kid in the 80s, and you know, I started driving in the 90s. But you know, the great thing about that car was it was influenced by Sammy Davis Jr.'s act. You know, Here Come the Judge, and it stripped off all the chrome, and it was no longer a Le Mans GTO. It was the GTO, the Judge. It was awesome.
Awesome. I loved the 66, 67 GTOs that had the vertical headlights.
Yeah, those were cool.
Those were nice cars. 277-9600. In your opinion, what was the greatest muscle car ever made? Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Todd.
Todd, greatest car.
Yes. I'm only 28, so I'm not going to go back too far, but I owned an 88, and also I owned a 90 Fox Body Mustang 5.0s.
All right, the 5-point, that's when Mustang was starting to come back and starting to make a good, strong car again.
I enjoyed them a lot. I was younger when I had them, but
I love them cars.
Yeah.
And
beautiful
car. A lot of them are at the tracks these days.
Yep, so. Yep. And I think NASCAR, I was reading that, NASCAR is going to actually use a Mustang for their races. That's I heard that. I don't know if it's fact.
You see what Ford came out with just recently?
What?
The new Bullet.
Really?
The brand
new. Oh, the McQueen one?
The McQueen Bullet. Yep. 50th anniversary, man.
2779600.
Cool. For those of you scoring along at home today, that is crash number three, and we'll mark that as a double because that's consecutive back-to-back crash.
It's because you're running too much stuff on there, bro.
I only run one thing.
Yeah. Apparently, that's the problem.
Stupid
according to
computer.
Richard, you got too many things running in the background on that thing.
Well, have him shut them off because they're not mine.
2779600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Dave.
Dave, in your opinion, what was the greatest muscle car
that
ever
impressed
made?
Dave?
Yeah, because it's Dave.
Going right into the Mustang, 68 Shelby GT500 with the 428 Cobra Jet.
Did you own one?
Unfortunately, no. I had to live vicariously through my buddy's ragtop. It was awesome.
You know what? The 1968 body style on the Mustang was very nice. They had the back headlights were the indented in headlights, and you could get it. I think you can get it in a hard top. You could get it in a fast back, and I think a rag top.
He had the rag top. It was awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. 2779600. I said the Roadrunner, but two cars that I'll stand by. I had a 68 Camaro with the Power Glide. 327, beautiful automobile. I smashed it. And then the last car I had in high school before I came down to Florida, and I will tell you, the body style was perfect and the engine was great. It was a 1972 Monte Carlo that had the 350 in it. It had the turbo thrusher mufflers underneath the thing. And that car literally flew. You could be going down the highway doing 60, 70 miles an hour. You'd punch it, it'd throw you in the back seat. It was just a beautiful car. I had it all black.
Man, you had a lot of cars. I only got one.
I had a lot. What I would do is I would buy the car. I saved my money, bought the Camaro, saved my money, bought the Roadrunner, saved my money, and got the Monte Carlo. And then I sold them before I came down
big
to here.
Big front bench seat?
Oh,
or
nice.
Did you have a bucket?
I had bench seats in the Monte.
Sweet.
Used to call it my Uncle Monte. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen, and Dave.
your opinion, greatest muscle car ever made, and did you own one?
Well, I'm going to have to agree with you. 73 Roadrunner, and I've had probably from 69 to 73, about 8 of them.
Really? The 73 Roadrunner looked a lot like the 74 Roadrunner.
Yes, it did. It came with a 400. I took it out and put a wedge in it.
Oh, man. And you don't own one now, do you?
No, I wish I had all those I had.
Do you see what the resale is on those? When you look, some of the old muscle cars are affordable. Whenever I look at the Plymouth Roadrunners, the restored ones, they're a fortune.
Oh, yeah, between $250,000 and $300,000.
It's insane. Absolutely insane.
That reminds me, I can't remember what the name of the car was, but it was made in the 60s, and it was a ragtop. I think it was a Chevy. I want to say it was a Chevy, but it was a ragtop, and he got it from a relative, like dirt cheap, and it was this bright yellow color, and we used to call it the banana. We go cruising around the old banana.
Was it Impala?
It might have been.
Impalas were nice.
It very well might have been, and he had to get rid of it, and the car has never left his head, when we have to get rid of things, we're like, oh, well, you do what you got to do. And then years later, you're still thinking about that car. He went and looked it up.
Is that it?
No. That's it was much newer than that. Right. That's more 50s.
Yeah. No, that's 60s.
Yeah. No, I would say this would have been more like mid-60s. He did the research and found out that that particular car with the package that was on it, and specifically the color, that there were only, there was like under 100 of them made.
Oh, yeah, you get the limited edition ones. You know, another car.
And that- it was, and like the numbers you were talking about there, it was like astronomical what that car would be worth today.
I also like never had one, but I had buddies that had them. 1970 Cutlass. Oldsmobile Cutlass.
You know,
those things
one?
Were badass.
A Buick Grand National.
Buick made a good car.
That was a badass car.
Yeah. And you think, oh, well, that was more of an adult car. And what? Those cars, when they came off the any car back in those days, could be turned into a big-time muscle car. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Sean.
What's your first name?
Sean.
Hey, Sean.
How you
greatest
how you
muscle
doing?
Car, buddy. And did you ever have one?
I had one. I had a 67 El Camino.
Yeah.
427 white with the black stripes up the hood and down the back of the tailgate.
Bet you wish you still had it.
Oh, jeez.
277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Joel.
Joel, greatest muscle car, and did you own one?
Yeah, I did own one. It was along the Mopar line again, a 1970 Duster.
Nice.
Dusters would get up and go.
Plymouth Duster, yep.
Yep, it had a little 340 in it, did some motor work to it. It'd run in low 14s and a quarter mile.
Nice, nice. That was Duster.
Yeah,
nice.
I had that through high school. And then into my early or late teens, early 20s, wrapped it around a telephone pole.
Oh, yeah, well, that's what happened to me in the Mustang. Well, I hit guardrails with that thing on some ice and went right into them.
Horsepower will get you.
Yeah. Oh, you're darn right
it'll
it will.
It'll get you.
277-96.
I got very lucky.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you. You think you have, as a 17-year-old, in an engine that big, in a car that made that way. We thought because they were pony cars, they were light, but they weren't. But they had some weight to them. You think you have total control over them. No, they got control over you.
Them babies sway.
They had, well, the power steering was like liquid.
Yeah, remember that?
Well, my Camaro, I took that thing into what we used to call hyperspace.
Yep. Oh, man, good times. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, this is Ron.
Ron, in your opinion, greatest muscle car ever made, and did you own one?
I had back in high school, I had a 76 Firebird with a 400 small block in.
76 Firebird, that was about the time of Smokey and the Bandit, wasn't it?
78 of Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing hauled ass. Right now, I got a 08 Z06, and that thing hauled ass, too.
You know, let me tell you something. Horsepower today translates into a much faster car than the horsepower back in the day. Cars are made with more horsepower.
I would agree. I mean, come on, that new Hellcat. Two keys.
It's insane.
And now the Demon? Oh, my God, man.
Ahoy, who's this?
Suzanne.
Now here, you're going to hear the answer. You're our last one today, Suzanne. In your opinion, the greatest muscle car ever made, and did you own one?
Mustang, and I owned a 2011 Candy Apple Red Mustang.
Ah, and I take it you don't have that 2011 Mustang anymore?
No, now I have repoed? A 2018.
Was it repoed?
DUI.
DUI.
How to win friends.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. What now? What?
Yeah, that was it. That's all.
Okay,
yeah.
So what do you have now?
I have a 2018 Nissan Rogue Sport.
Well, good for you. Can I have the license number?
Mm-hmm.
No.
What is it? What is wrong with you?
If you would like to answer our question of the week, feel
free to
do so.
You don't talk to a lady like you talk to Dave.
She sounded like she might have had a DUI in there.
I'm pretty sure, Stan.
Thank you, Dave. Oh, buddy.
I know drinkers.
You do, buddy. Ahoy. at stanandhaney.com. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com. What was the greatest muscle car ever made, and did you own one? We'll take a break. Mark Haney and the news is next. 96K Rock.
Breaker 1-9. Anybody know where I can get a good chicken dinner? Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. Mark Haney in the news coming up. We're also going to update you on traffic. Roger Marley in at 6 o'clock. I do want to make, because Dave is sitting around, he's not supposed to be here. He had a meeting with the program director, and he just decided to stay and ruin a show. But now that you're here.
Come on.
What?
Well, he was here, and the rest of the time he's lonely. He likes to be around his friends.
That's right, man. I don't get to hang out with you guys.
What are you doing here?
Very funny. Jerk.
It's in the books. It's locked in. I got to go and look at the date. But get ready for a big fry, Dave, coming up next month.
Awesome.
Big.
Big?
Remember, we were talking about the big Hollywood guy that's going to be doing the thing over there at...
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Major...
He doesn't know about that.
No. Major Hollywood. I got his name in the other room, and it's all been booked. He selected the date and everything. I got to find it. It's next month. He has done some of the more
you're going to be blown away
recognizable special features or special effects makeup wise in a lot of big movies.
Yeah,
he's coming in next month to do a life mask on you.
Yeah, he's going to do you.
He's going to do you. You're going to be in the chair with the straws up the nose, and you're going to have a life mask done.
Is this just to shut me up, man?
Do you know how rare this is?
Is it? I don't know nothing about it.
This is like a pro Hollywood guy.
All right. Well, that's cool. So we can stick it in the corner. You can see me every day.
It'll be the exact image of you.
That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. Maybe we could sell them for Halloween. People want to go out as Dave.
They might want to.
But that's going to happen in the studio where they're going to have you from the neck to the top of the head.
That is really
covered
cool,
in that molding plaster.
Wow.
Eyes, everything. The only way you're going to breathe is through two straws. And they say it's 50-50 whether or not you're going to panic.
No.
Because it is complete sensory deprivation.
No.
And you can't hear because your ears are covered up. You can't see because your eyes are covered up. You can't talk or breathe through your mouth.
You're not good at sitting still.
This might be an issue.
And he says... This is very high technical stuff, 50-50 shot that you're going to puss out.
I can't smoke.
Mark Haney.
No, man, but you got to do it.
Stuff's got to be flammable, I'm sure.
No, it's not. It takes him about a 40-minute prep, though, he told me. About 40 minutes to prep.
Well, let's do this.
Man. How many people get that done, man?
Not many, man.
Hollywood. Highest level of Hollywood.
That's bitching, Stan.
Mark
Thank
Haney,
you.
The news coming up, but first let's get you updated on traffic.
K-Rock traffic.
All right, we'll start in North Fort Myers. Got a crash, Pine Island Road and Atlantic Avenue. Also, North Fort Myers crash, 5600 block of Bayshore Road. Still working, and that's by the Winn-Dixie. Fort Myers, hit and run, 2100 block of Crystal Drive. And then we got one more for you. It's in Lehigh Acres, crash, Sunshine Boulevard North and Lee Boulevard. And you are up to date. One more traffic update for you in about 30. Mark Haney and the news, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And it starts right now.
Nightly News with David Brinkley in Washington and John Chancellor in New York.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, August 9th.
Double M XV Triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you did not know.
All right.
In the 1990s, which doesn't seem all that long ago, but it is.
Darn right it is. It's 20-some-odd years ago.
Half of all CDs produced worldwide were America Online free trial discs.
How many times did you get them in the mail? All the time. Everybody got them. It was the junk mail.
I had a post office box in the 90s. And when I'd go and check my mail, they would have like two, sometimes three garbage cans in there just full
yep.
of AOL discs.
Yep.
You know what they call a roller coaster in Russia?
What? Sounds almost like a joke. What?
Amerikansky Gorky.
What does that mean?
Translates to American Mountains. Let's go ride the American Mountains.
Good. That's why we rule.
You know we do?
Yep.
And we're awesome.
Yep.
Let's keep America great.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Shh.
He claims ownership because he was at the Trump rally.
You know, and he doesn't appreciate it.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't. He got exclusive press coverage, press credentials to go to the Donald Trump rally at Germain when Donald Trump was running for president. So, in turn, he got to be very close to a president of the United States.
He was even what closer happened? To the Secret Service.
Yeah, what yes. happened?
Yes.
As soon as Trump got on stage, started giving his speech, he split.
No, Stan.
Yes, I just listened to the tape.
I saw the guy.
Yeah, and then you left.
Because I got busted smoking, man, in the Secret Service.
No, you didn't. Stop lying.
You know what we're talking about, the upper deck up there, man, right?
What was your interaction with the Secret Service?
Apparently,
that's the way you start a lie.
No, it's not, Stan.
Apparently.
How do what you start happened? A lie?
You don't, man.
Let me tell you, is what he says to start a lie.
You shut up, bro.
All right.
Not today, bro.
Yeah. If not today, when?
Maybe tomorrow. Maybe Monday.
That's right.
Anyways, I go
Monday.
Out. You shut up, man. I go out.
I don't have to shut up.
Please, man, I'm trying to do something here.
You're telling a lie.
No, I'm not. So I go out, and apparently that whole upper area was closed off, and they had those apartments that are on the back of Germain now. From what I understand, they had...
Oh, so you went up to Breakaway?
Yeah, up there, and they had...
And you wanted to go and smoke out there,
and
yeah.
I was wondering why I was the only guy out there.
Oh, I got to tell you, Roger Marley's not coming on tonight. You know why?
Why?
Yeah, that's right.
Dolphins.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot all about that. Yeah, Dolphin football.
Dolphins playing the Bucs.
Pre-game at 6.
So anyways, I'm out there, real quick. I'm out there.
So you were out there on that small patio behind Breakaway.
Apparently they had spotted me.
Here we go.
Shut up, man. And I'm up there having a burn. And I'm burning one, dude, and then that's when I got told.
Why weren't you calling us while the president was talking?
I don't remember.
Yeah, because you were looking to get the hell out of there.
Oh, man.
And then, so once what again, did they, back to my what, original
they,
point.
They were telling me that I'm in an excluded zone. There is nobody allowed out there because all the doors were locked, but I found one that was kind of like, you know, jammed open.
And that means come on in.
Yeah, why not, you know? You know, it's kind of, you know, the lock is a little shifty, but it worked. It opened up. So I went out there, and I'm out there having a cool smoke.
What's that Three Dog Night song?
Little did I know that they're looking at me from the apartments.
Liar.
And they're calling inside, saying there's some dude out here, man.
Liar.
Well, I'm sure you probably had a red dot on you at one point.
Might have. Don't know. It's daylight, bro.
Don't matter.
No.
You can still see that red light.
I was just having a cool smoke.
Liar.
You don't know, bro. You weren't there.
Yeah, you don't know. You weren't there.
Yep, that's how he can get away with it.
What a jackass.
Is there anything else you remember about that? Being there with Trump?
I saw, who else did I see? Newt Gingrich. And
that's crash number 4 for those of you.
Yeah, there were a lot of bulls.
You saw Newt?
Yeah, Newt
Did
came out.
Did you speak to him?
No, I didn't get a chance to. They wouldn't let me down really too close to any of them because...
He has to do news because we were short on time.
But you had your press credentials.
Well, I had a piece of paper, but they weren't too, you know, it looked photocopied. Would... Sorry, Stan.
The animal with the longest lifespan is a clam.
That doesn't count.
Very specific clam called the ocean quahog. They live to be around 400 years old.
Doesn't count.
The second longest lifespan is the bowhead whale.
What can you tell us about a bowhead whale?
He's ridden one.
Yeah.
Didn't you were out in California?
Yeah, I believe that's a South Pacific animal.
Why don't you just be honest with the audience? I don't know.
Well, Stan, I know a little bit about everything. Don't forget that.
Ask him how to turn on a faucet.
Yeah, how do you turn on a faucet?
Use your elbow.
And why do you do that?
Because if you use your hands... What happens is when you go to shut it off, you get water on the backsplash.
Well, are you really?
The bowhead whale lives to be about 211. The clam is about 5 inches long. The whale is about 65 feet.
There's that clam. It doesn't count. A clam.
Doesn't impress you.
No, it does not.
But a 200-year-old whale would impress you.
One of those like 200-year-old lobsters or the 200-year-old tortoise. That impresses me.
That's a weird-looking whale.
It's a good-looking whale, though.
Looks like a parrot.
Why don't you shut up?
Never. You're stuck with me, bro.
Well, as Stan told you, we have football tonight. The Dolphins and the Buccaneers in preseason action. Really, we're getting fairly close. I think they kick off at 7.
Yes.
And immediately following this program, we'll go, right into pregame?
Pregame.
We've just learned that the Arizona Cardinals are really stepping up for their fans this year. They have announced a new promotion called the Gridiron Burger Challenge.
Ah, yeah, nothing like a good, on a cold day, a burger. Oh, you're Arizona. Still, it gets cold.
It is a $75 burger.
Jeez. Oh, you know, stadium prices.
Now, what's on a $75 burger?
What, it's probably gold leaf something, truffle something, a bunch of crap.
A 10-inch bun stuffed with 5 third-pound patties... 5 hot dogs, 5 brats, 20 slices of American cheese, 8 slices of bacon, 8 chicken tender, 12 ounces of fries, plus lettuce, tomatoes, and sauce. It weighs a grand total of 7 pounds.
You'll get sick. You can't eat it. You'll be sick.
Dave could.
No
problem.
No, he couldn't.
Oh, come on, man. Who are you talking to?
We've done numerous things with him where he cops out.
No, he always does it.
I do believe we had a burger joint bring in a burger for him, and he couldn't finish it.
I think he did. I remember finishing it.
No, I think he didn't. You didn't even eat a third of it. Too hot.
No, because you sabotaged it.
So you pay them $75 and eat 7 pounds of food. You finish that in under an hour.
Jeez. Can't be done.
Keep in mind, they're keeping the $75.
Oh, yeah.
But if you finish it in under an hour, you'll win a Cardinals jersey and get your picture on the Jumbotron.
Big effing deal.
It's been calculated that the $75 burger has approximately 8,000 calories. So, Assuming one beats the challenge, you may want to go a size up on your complimentary jersey. See, that's relatable, yeah. And yeah. That way we go out with a little laugh zone, as
humor.
I say, yeah. In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, congratulations to Zach and Cindy Edwards.
Aww.
They got married on Orange Beach, Alabama the other day.
Aww.
And as they were taking wedding photos on the beach afterwards, a woman ran up to the party and said someone was drowning. It turns out a high school kid got caught up in a riptide, and the lifeguards on duty were already busy saving someone else. But luckily, Zach happens to be a former lifeguard who is now in the Coast Guard. So, if anything, he's a little overqualified.
Yep.
So, Cindy, his brand new bride of several minutes, told him he had to go and save the kid. He began removing his dress clothes, but again, a woman he's married to only minutes yells at him he doesn't have time for that, and ordered him to dive in with the pants on.
Yep, telling him what to do.
He uttered the first of many yes honeys to come.
Yep.
Jumped in with his clothes on and grabbed the kid and got the kid's head above water until some Budinsky on a jet ski pulled them both back to shore. Zach and Cindy say it made for a pretty unique wedding day.
Yep.
And they're excited to have a great story to tell their grandkids.
Yeah. Who's going
to
pay for the cleaning of that rental? They weren't expecting that. That's an extra charge.
Mm-hmm.
And she made him get in with it all on there.
Well, she may need to instruct him to get an extra job to pay for it.
Yep.
Because budgets are very important.
Yeah, especially in a new marriage like that.
Uh-huh. You know, this is a man. He's used to living on his own. He doesn't understand how much hairspray, makeup yep. removers, yep. makeup removing pads, yep. Sanitary items, hair care, yep. all of this stuff.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
He'll have to learn.
Yep.
Say, kids, how would you like an adorable teddy bear made out of raw chicken?
Stop it, what?
There's a nice lady named Maggie in Metairie, Louisiana, selling teddy bears made out of raw chicken on Facebook.
Oh, that's great. And what, do you grill it up?
Well, she stitches together raw chicken parts in the shape of a teddy bear, and yes, you can cook it. And you can eat it.
Come on, little Sally. We're going to go and barbecue your bear.
Yes, these adorable bears look like something out of a bad horror movie.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Are you serious? It looks like...
Somebody drops that on your doorstep. Yep. You're leaving town.
Yep.
That's legit, bro.
That is unbelievable. You know? I could say stuff right now that is so inappropriate about back alleys and coat hangers, and I won't.
Hey!
Hey, come on, man.
Unfortunately, like all good things, yeah. it's been spoiled.
Yeah, of course it has.
Maggie is temporarily out of the raw chicken teddy bear game. Because now that the listing is getting a little too much attention, she pulled it down.
Jeez.
It's a shame, too, because the price was a very reasonable $35, even as low as $25 if you provide your own chicken. And she also advertised she can make clothes for your chicken bear if you need them.
This is insane!
Look at this thing. It is disgusting. It's so creepy. It's like a boyfriend pushed the girlfriend down the stairs.
Well, you...
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Sorry about that. Sorry. Bill.
I'm sorry.
Let's all gather ourselves.
Please. Woo. This is all inappropriate. That's inappropriate. That's inappropriate.
Disturbing, man.
Yeah. It's bad news.
It's just wrong.
Yes.
There is a 56-year-old woman named Michelle Sedlak. She lives in Northport.
Oh.
You know, home of the speed trap.
Yeah.
And last week, Michelle had some delicious Chinese leftovers in the refrigerator. She was really looking forward to it. And then the Chinese leftovers mysteriously disappeared. Michelle was not pleased, and there was only one suspect. We don't know her relationship to him, whether they're roommates, a couple, or both, or neither. Because when he got home, she was waiting and accused him of eating her valuable Chinese leftovers. The man swore he didn't do it, but that was not good enough for Michelle. So she did the only thing she could do.
What's that?
She threw a ginsu at him. She missed, but told him, quote, "If I wanted to hit you, I would have." He called the cops at that point, feeling that perhaps he'd lost control of the situation.
I'd say.
She was arrested for aggravated battery with a deadly weapon without intent to kill, because if she wanted to hit him... Yeah,
she could have hit him. Look at the cold eyes. She's capable of anything.
That's more disturbing than the chicken bear.
Yes, it is. She is capable of anything.
I'll get you.
I didn't ask for you to add that in there.
You know what? They should just, for safety's sake, run some sort of ground-penetrating radar around her house to make sure there's nothing buried there.
Yep. She's buried a few of them. Look at her.
Not the first time she's thrown a knife.
Nope.
Not something that just occurs to you.
Look at her cold eyes.
Like a doll of that.
Yeah, we're all overweight.
And that's the news for today, Thursday, August 9th.
Double M XV Triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're Stan and Haney.
Oftentimes, complete strangers are convinced that we are somehow related. Sadly, we are not. But to these people, we offer you an Irish blessing. May the road... Sorry. Stan and Haney on 96K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Dolphins football. Pre-game coming up at 6 o'clock. Kickoff at 7. It's hard to believe, Haney. Football back. And K-Rock, you're home for the Dolphins. Again. Yep. Another long season ahead of us.
Miami Dolphins. Not that good of a football team.
No. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Let's see. Where to begin? Let's start in North Fort Myers. Got a crash. 5600 block of Bayshore Road by the Winn-Dixie there. Alva. Crash. Palm Beach Boulevard and River Hall Parkway. Lehigh Acres, crash. Wallace Avenue and State Road 82. And we got one showing up in Fort Myers. It's a crash. Colonial Boulevard and Cleveland Avenue.
and you are up to date. It was a little odd here. It's on a Thursday, having Dave the Waterman hanging out in here.
I know there was a little song that, that yeah. you had mentioned you wanted
telling
to hear.
Us his stories what? About Secret Service.
Yeah,
a lot of food eating and
how to turn on faucets.
Yeah, and you're an expert in just about everything.
I told you, if you need you? To know something, you can consult me.
That's good to know. So, did you get to meet the president?
No, no. They wouldn't let me get close.
Well, they wouldn't. He had credentials.
No, I didn't have full credentials. I had partial.
But you did get to meet Newt Gingrich.
Well, they were eyeballing me when I was standing on that chair.
So Newt saw you.
Well, when I was screaming "Lock her up," standing on the stool, they kind of thought I was a little bit out there.
Yeah.
And then I tried to get the crowd. Remember, boys, when I was getting the crowd kind of starting to go and everybody kind of started getting into
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you were the ringleader.
But, you know, I was in that whole suite up there.
Yeah.
And I'm standing on a stool, so there is no way you're going to miss me, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got everybody looking at me.
Liar! 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 Keep going. Keep digging your hole.
Once again, that ain't no joke.
So you were out smoking, you found a dislodged door, and that's when the Secret Service sprung on you.
Listen,
he was in an exclusion
have you
zone.
Have you ever been to any political rally stand?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
Sure have.
Have you had credentials?
Yep.
And you've been back. In an enclosed building or outside?
Oh, enclosed.
Okay. So
you don't know what you're talking about.
So you don't,
you
so
don't know.
You know the height. Oh, my God, man. The height of security at this place was out of control, man. That's a bunch of BS, man. What political rally have you been to there, pal?
Don't worry about what I've been to. We're not talking about me. We're talking about you lying.
Oh, man, come on, man. This is ridiculous. No wonder I have nightmares about you, man.
About me?
Yeah.
I'm not the one doing the talking. I'm not the one digging a hole with lies.
What am I digging a hole about, man, when I'm talking about being at a rally that you guys sent me to, and I'm standing on a damn stool?
You left.
You left early? You didn't hear the president?
I heard a tiny bit, and then, yes, I left, man, because I wanted to beat the 90,000 people that were out there, bro. The whole parking lot was slammed, bro. They couldn't even fit everybody in the building. They had jumbotrons outside, man. That is not a lie.
Let's laugh
Damn.
A little bit. Yeah.
I'll never win.
Once again,
for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I'm in my 20s. I shouldn't be making any permanent decisions, okay? Being in your 20s is like having a virus. You can't do anything. You just have to wait until you're better. And the whole time you're waiting, everybody's like, these are the best years of your life. These are the best years of your whole life. And I'm like, I just used a fast food napkin as toilet paper. This gets worse. Everything feels like that in your 20s. Temporary, pointless. Dating in your 20s is like watching Titanic, where you're just like, this isn't going to work out, but let's just enjoy this first part where we're hooking up in cars and pretending he's not poor. Put a jacket on anybody. I hung out with some girls my own age last week, one of whom told me she's writing a memoir at 23. Yeah. I'm like, maybe start with a pamphlet. I don't know. Yeah, if you're writing a memoir in your 20s, you had better have been murdered. Like, unless you are murdered or you're that chick who got her arm bitten off by the shark and kept surfing, no memoir. You have to earn your autobiography.
Have yourselves a great evening. Dolphin pregame at 6, kickoff against the Bucks at 7. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Big Friday show, as always. This is the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this.
Good morning. Good morning. This is David Hartman.
And today my guests are two of the most famous figures in the annals of animated film history. Two pioneers who forged new frontiers in the field of television animation.
The hallways of history? What does that mean?
It's a figure of speech, Bullwinkle.
Oh, you mean like a melody or a semaphore?
That's simile and metaphor, Bullwinkle.
You know, we had that girl on. Long dead.
It is my honor and privilege to be sitting here this morning with none other than Rocket J. Squirrel and Bullwinkle Moose. Welcome.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. What's annals?
Annals?
You said something about the annals of animated film history.
That's funny. I always thought that meant hallways.
Maybe he meant animals.
What was that, David?
I said hallways.
No, you said something about animals.
No, I said animals, Rocky. Mr. Hartman said hallways.
Weren't you Mr. Hartman?
No, I'm Bullwinkle.
I'm Mr. Hartman.
I'm confused.
Anyway, gentlemen, I understand you two recently toured Mexico. Were you performing together again?
You know we were, Bullwinkle.
Yes, but Mr. Hartman doesn't.
Then why doesn't he ask?
I did.
Not you.
Who, me?
Gentlemen, can we just please...
There. Now, who said that?
Rocky, I am transmogrified after all these years.
Well, darn it, Bullwinkle, it's a record. It's not like I can see you.
What were you doing in Mexico?
Vacation.
We were there helping to improve international relations.
Oh? I heard you were doing a cheap comedy act in some sleazy Mexican dive.
Nightclub.
Bowling alley. No, I mean, we were opening a chain of high-rises.
Yeah, Piscopo was the one doing the cheap comedy act.
That was actually pretty good because they had the real Bullwinkle and the real Rocket J. Squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
Both dead. Piscopo lives. Trust me. I know. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Haney, where can I find that info about John McCain?
Where I saw it was on a website called True Pundit.
Guys, every day when Haney does the news, I'm constantly amazed at the utter stupidity of people. And it seems to get worse all the time. For example, Haney did a story about a guy who went to the police station to prove to his friends that he wasn't drunk to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just what the hell is the thought process here? Did he think he was going to work out, that it was going to work out in his favor?
Mm-hmm.
Look, I've had many times when I had way too much to drink. But doing something like that never once crossed my mind. Can people really be that stupid or ignorant? Well, Guardian, I can look across the room and see Dave just eating up the Facebook Live with his dunce cap on and looking like a fool, and he's just eating it alive.
Well, that's what he was asked to do.
Can I I'm sorry to interrupt, but somebody on Facebook Live made a very good observation. They said, when wearing a dunce cap, aren't you supposed to face the corner?
But then you wouldn't be able to see him.
Yeah, then you wouldn't be able to see him.
Yeah, that's true. But...
And then he'd get, because he has to stare at a wall us, he'd get a mite fidgety.
I'm surprised that people even know what a dunce cap is.
Oh, trust me, when somebody called him a couple of weeks back, dunce cap Dave...
We may be the... What are you doing, Dave? Put your dunce cap back on and sit down.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Who do you think you are, bro? On stand, big man.
Are you going to take a break?
Yeah.
Question of the
week.
You
know what, Dave? You wouldn't see Stan having the guts to sit over there in a dunce cap.
Darn right.
Dude, he ain't got half the guts.
I don't have the guts to do it. I'll admit it. I don't have the guts to sit in the corner, wear a dunce cap, and be filmed that goes around the world. You idiot. You idiot.
You're so jealous.
Yeah, idiot.
You are jealous.
We'll be back.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.